today's daf in Kriyas. Oh, let's not even say what today's daf is. Let's just say what we're doing, what we're learning. We're learning Kriyas. We're in the third parak of Kriyas. We are on a Mishnah. We're on the bottom of Yudalid Amud Aleph, the very bottom. Okay. The we are in one of the centerpieces of Kriyas. If Masechta Kriyas can be highlighted or be typified by a series of Mishnayos, it's these Mishnayos in the third parak. In fact, you look at the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayos over here. So the Rambam, he does this. He does this in Perush HaMishnayos. The Rambam sometimes just says, this is an excellent opportunity to speak about some of the most basic issues in Halacha, and you'll see the paragraphs of the Perush HaMishnayos are incredibly long, because this is an unbelievable opportunity. Meaning, what are we discussing over here? We're discussing multiple Yisurim on an item. Now, I'm not going to objectify women, at least not today, but we talk about multiple Yisurim applying to to foods, and we're going to now talk about multiple Yisurim applying to women as well. The cases that we're going to be discussing, as I mentioned yesterday's daf, but I'm just going to repeat today, the cases are really more abstract, they're conceptual. Cannot possibly imagine, as you'll see some of the cases we're going to be learning this morning, that these cases actually occurred, but they're just simply broadcasting ideas about Isser Chala, Isser, whether one Isser can overlay on top of another Isser. Just quickly to refresh and remind ourselves what we learned yesterday, really the basics. The general rule is Ein Isser Chala Isser, that you cannot have one Isser be Chala another Isser, meaning if an object is prohibited to you, so then even if there's another reason why that object should become prohibited to you for whatever other reason, but it's already prohibited to you. So what purpose does it serve now where there's going to be another prohibition overlaying on top of the first prohibition? So the general rule is Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. There is a Tana out there. I don't know who that Tana is, because every time somebody gets named, the Gemara says, "Oh, he doesn't hold Isser Chal Al Isser." So I don't know who to point my finger at. But nevertheless, there is a Tana out there who holds that there is one Isser that could be Chal that can lay on top of another Isser, but we are generally Sumein Isser Chal Isser. Even with that general assumption, there are going to be three exceptions. There are three exceptions to the rule where even though one Isser cannot fall on top of another Isser, but still, the three exceptions are the following. Number one, what if the two Isserim come at the same time? Simultaneous origination of Isser. Okay? So that's one exception to the rule where there's no competition, right? I know in baseball the tie goes to the runner, but in halacha the tie goes to both, meaning both are going to get awarded with the Isser. So if I have an item where the Issers come simultaneously, so then they both are going to land at the same exact time. Okay, we'll talk. Give you an example later on this morning of what that would be. That's number one. Number two is Isser Mosif. Isser Mosif means that there's a qualitative nature of the Isser now, which it incorporates into the item, and so because qualitatively the Isser now is it's a more serious Isser, so then the second Isser is going to overlay on top of the other Isser. Okay, and again, we'll give other examples of that as well. We went through examples of that yesterday. We're going to give more examples of that today. And finally, Isser Kolel. Isser Kolel simply means that so many new items are usher to me based on this new Isser, so this item will be usher to me as well. It's a quantitative difference. So in other words, because there's now a preponderance of Isser because of the second Isser, so the item of question, even though it's already usher, is now going to be usher to me through the second Isser. Okay? Those are, so again, Bas Acha, simultaneous, Isser Mosif, a qualitative an increase in the Isser, and Kolel, a quantitative increase in the Isser. Good. That is just a brief summary. You want more details? Look at the Perush HaMishnayos of the Rambam. He discusses more in terms of this. Yesh Ba Bi'achas V'chayv Alav Vav Chataos. Okay, so there's... So now we talk about this idea of Isser Chal Isser, not in the context of eating food, but now in the context of having relations. Man can have relations with one time and be chayav of six carbon chatases, meaning one woman is going to be usher to him in six different ways, and even one act of relations, so he's going to be chayav of carbon six times over. Obviously, when we say carbon, we obviously mean that the act was done b'shogeg, and then not only was it b'shogeg, but it was b'shogeg on each one of the various violations, and so forth and so on. Okay, there is a... In your art school, there's a great chart that describes it. We're not going to do this. I'll be honest with you. We're not going to do this every single time because we could spend really just the rest of today just going over this. But If you want to, this particular case over here, you look at your chart. It's very well done here in the art scroll. So the story goes where, okay, it's not a pleasant story. So, but the story goes where you have Reuven who fathered a child by the name of Dinah. Now, how did he father Dinah? So he had ancestral relations with his mother Leah, and so through that ancestral relation, so he now has Dinah, who is his daughter and his sister. Okay, everyone's with me, unfortunately. Dinah then marries Shimon. Who is Shimon? Shimon is a brother to Reuven. Okay, Dinah is allowed to marry Shimon, meaning despite the fact that her birth was heralded into this world through a very unseemly act. And by the way, Dinah is a... meaning, status-wise, what is Dinah?
She's a niece.
Not to Shimon. Oh. In of herself, what's Dinah?
Mamzer.
Yeah, she's a mamzer. And that's an issue, and the Gemara doesn't really discuss that, but and Tosfos does discuss it. But right now, we're just going to go through the simple storyline over here. Dinah then marries Shimon, which she's allowed to, because Dinah is not related to Shimon in any way, meaning Reuben and Shimon are brothers, but brothers through a father, Yaakov, that Dinah is not involved with. So it's fine. Dinah can marry Shimon. Again, Dinah's a mamzera, so that presents its own set of issues. But okay, we're just going to ignore that for a moment. And then Shimon either dies or divorces, either way. And then Dinah marries Esav. Now, who is Esav? So Esav, of course, is Shimon's uncle. So Shimon's uncle being Esav, so Dinah marries him as well. And now either Esav dies or divorces, either way. And then Dinah marries another guy. This other guy is inconsequential. We just need her to be married. Okay? Dinah obviously has some life story. And again, this is not, this is abstract. I do find interesting and exciting the names that they choose right. Mm-hmm. Over here. Yeah. Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shimon, Rachel, Leah. Right? But they choose those names not because we want to attach the avos to the story, but just simply because we all genealogically know the avos so well. So for us, we're like Yaakov, Yitzchak, oh yeah, Yitzchak and Yaakov's father. So it's not pleasant in the story that we're providing, but it is easier just in terms of us knowing who's who in the genealogy. And then Reuven has relations with Dinah. Now think about it. Already from the get-go, she's his daughter. Already that's an Isser. She's his sister. That's already another Isser. She is his brother's wife, or was his brother's wife. Remember, once an Erva, always an Erva. Meaning, even though Shimon and Dinah are no longer married, it doesn't matter. Once Shimon marries Dinah, she is his brother's wife and will continue to be his brother's wife. She also is Reuven's uncle, right? Esav is an uncle to Reuven. It's also Reuven's uncle's wife, another Erva. And she's also now currently married to another man, that's Eshes Ish. And on top of that all, she's an Ida. Okay. So, right, that's storyline number one. There's more coming up later today. So, if you liked our first story today, you'll love the next stories coming up. So, yesh ba bi'achas chayv alav chatas ketzer haba bito. So, a man has relations with his daughter, chayv alav mishum bito, v'achos ishto, achiv, v'achoso, eshes achiv, eshes achi aviv, v'eshes ish, v'nida. Okay, simple, straightforward. Now, the Gemara takes on, now at the top of Yudal Mabez, the Gemara takes on some of the more simple questions. So the Gemara says, look, right, there's no Isser Chal al Isser. And so how did she gain all these new Isurim to the man? So the Gemara says, Nehid Isser Chal al Isser Leislay, Isser Mosef Isser Kol al Isser. Again, the Gemara is going to go now through the basics that we discussed in the very beginning of today's daf, and that's the following, that each one is going to be added, each new Isser is going to be added because it adds a component. Kigam. Shabali, Mavaholid Ba. So the Gemara here just basically takes us through the story, as I already went through in the diagram. So a man has relations with his mother, Vaholid Ba, Isser Bita, Vachos, Bahadiyad, Adiyasu. Here we go. Here's an example of simultaneous, meaning that when this girl now is born, right, the Reuven had relations with his mother, and now they have a child. This child, when born into this world, now is two things to Reuven. Number one, it's his daughter. Number two, it's his sister. But even though I counted it, obviously those two things occurred simultaneously. At her birth, she was both a daughter and a sister. So that's what's called Hadeh Hadadeh, that's called simultaneous, and okay. So now that already brings us to two Isurim. Nises La'achiv, so now she marries Reuven's brother. So Migo di Tosif Isur Lagabi Achin, Tosif Isur Lagabi Didei. And now, look, once she marries Reuven's brother, she becomes Asur, not just to, she already was Asur to Shimon, but she's Asur now to Reuven's, I'm sorry, in the diagram, make sure I'm consistent with my name. Yeah. So when she married Shimon, Reuven's brother, not only did she become usher to Reuven, she already was usher to Reuven, she becomes usher to all Shimon's other brothers. So in other words, there is more Isser in her now. So that's a qualitative change. So he says, Achimiko di Tosif Isol Gabi Achim, Tosif Isol Gabi Didei. And then he says, Lachi Achiv, and now when she marries Esav, the uncle of Reuven, which again, she's allowed to do, aside from the fact that she's a mamzeres, but we'll just leave that alone for now. And then when she marries Esav, so then, Migo di Tosif Isrola Gabi Asher Achi Avivi Tosif Gabi Didei. She now becomes Aser at that marriage to Esav, to all of Esav's siblings. So in other words, again, there's more Iser in her when she marries Esav. So because they're Aser to Esav's brother, she's also now going to be Aser to Reuven again. Havale Eishas Ish, now. The Gemara says now she's Eishas Ish. So Migo di Tosif Isol Gabi Alma, Tosif Namla Gabi Didei. When she becomes a married woman, she becomes Aser to the entire world. As an Eishas Ish, now she becomes Aser to the entire world. She will also become Aser to Reuven again through the Iser of Eishas Ish. Havale Nida. Then when she becomes a Nida, Migo di Tosif Isol Gabi Bala, now she's Aser. Who's she Aser to when she's a Nida? To her husband. So now that she's Aser to her husband, he Tosif Namla Gabi Didei, so she's going to be Aser now to Reuven as well. Okay, so each new Iser adds a facet, adds a dimension that didn't exist before, not just vis-a-vis Reuven, but vis-a-vis others as well. And so consequently, what we are discussing now is each new Iser can overlap on top of an already existing Iser. Okay. Next Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnahs are going to do this again. Halba al bas bito. So here we're going to discuss now a scenario where a man has relations with his granddaughter. Okay, ready for this one? Okay, again, we're not going to go through each one of these. I think, in fact, in this Mishnah, this is the only one I'm really going to go through in detail. The details are, anyway, a little bit surly. Okay, so Yaakov is going to end up having relations with his granddaughter. But before we get to that point, so the granddaughter was married to her uncle? Okay. Married to her uncle, meaning Yaakov's son. And then Reuven dies. And then she was married to her, And then she was married to her great uncle, okay, Esav. And then let's say he dies. And then married to her great grandfather, her great uncle, her grandfather's brother. Okay, so Yaakov's uncle, and then he dies, and then she's married to another man. And by the way, just to add insult to injury to this case, Yaakov ended up marrying Sarah's sister. What? How could he do that? Because it was not a granddaughter to Yaakov, meaning she was from another. Leah and Sarah are sisters. Based on the father. So in other words, Yaakov is married to Leah. So Sarah is to him a lot of things, right? His son's daughter, his brother's daughter, his uncle's daughter, his wife's sister. Get the basic picture?
The purpose of this is what?
Again, the purpose of this is to just illustrate how one act of relations can result in all these various issurim. And then what? And then if done b'shogeg, if done inadvertently, so you're going to have to bring a karmen chatas for each one. In other words, even though it was one act committed, so now when you go to the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is going to ring you up And they're going to ring out for every single Isser that you did.
All this was during Shogay.
Oh, everything was Shogay. So let's, I'm sorry, let me just do the Mishnah inside. Haba bas bito, chayv alam mishom bas bito. So first of all, it's his grand daughter. Okay, let's start there. V'kalaso, and it's also his daughter-in-law. V'eshes achiv, wife of his brother. V'eshes achi aviv, wife of his uncle. Skip the parentheses. V'eshes ish, and... No, we skip the parentheses or no? I think we can leave the parentheses there. Right? Achos ishto. Rashi leaves it there. Yeah. So achos ishto, and it's also his wife's sister. V'eshes ish, and now again, at the end of the whole story, she was married to another man altogether. V'nida, and on top of that, she's a nida. So then, again, we have now a scenario where you have one act of relations that translates into many various Yisroel. Rabbi Yossi says, you know, we can add one more. Okay. And Rabbi Yossi says, here's what we could do. We can have Yitzchak, right? The Gemara is going to call him the Zakin, the elder. Right? So Yitzchak can marry Sarah. Now, that's strange. How can he do that? So we will... Okay, Gemara's going to ask that question. So, but if Yitzchak ends up marrying Sarah, so then Sarah is to Yaakov now his father's wife. Okay, and that would add now another Isser to her. So, Im Avar, what happened? Where'd I go? Sorry. Im Avar Zakim Nasa Chayvala Mishom Eishes Av. V'chein Aba Abbas Yishav Abbas Bita. And then the Mishnah says, oh, by the way, we could do this again. With a man having relations with his wife's daughter, or bas pita, or his wife's granddaughter. Okay. And if you want, we can go through the cases as well. But basically, it all amounts to the same in terms of the construct of the cases as we discussed up until this point in time. Ketani chayav ala mishum eshazav mishar yalei. So the Gemara over here starts off with a simple question. Look, The case you can figure out. We went through the basic outline of the first case in the Mishnah, but the Gemara wants to know how is the grandfather, in this case Yitzchak, how is he marrying her? I'm Rav Yochanan kigon shenafel aliyibom. So Rav Yochanan gives a simple answer. I'm sorry, just one more time. Let's go back. He gives a really simple answer, meaning that when Yishmael died. So Yishmael died without any children. So what do we know? When Yishmael dies without any children, and he was married to, oh my gosh, he was married to Rachel. That's crazy. So when Yishmael dies and he doesn't have any children, so now Yitzchak has an Yibam opportunity. Meaning normally Yitzchak's not allowed to marry her. It is his brother's sister, but brother's wife. Sorry, but now he can. So now Yitzchak will be marrying Rachel. Via the mitzvah of Yibum. Grape shot, right? Yeah, not a grape shot, because the Mishnah says Avar. Right? He violated. So the Gemara asked exactly the question. Yachimai Avar. What do you mean he violated? He violated he did a mitzvah. I'm Rav Yaakov Shavar Mishum Kalas Beno Shnia. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why. Yeah, he's not allowed to marry her because she is Kalas Beno. Because she is to him the daughter-in-law of his son. Min Torah, you're allowed to marry your son's daughter-in-law. It's just from a practical standpoint, the age differential usually will be so great that it's not advisable. But nevertheless, Min Torah, you're allowed to marry your son's daughter-in-law. The problem is, not the problem, but the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that the Chachamim said, your son's daughter-in-law... Oh, that's got the word daughter-in-law in it. Meaning, daughter-in-law to you is Asa Min HaTorah. So your son's daughter-in-law, even though Min HaTorah, she's mutter to you, but the Chachamim stepped in and said, no, we're going to prohibit that union. This is what's called Shnios. Shnios is any of the rabbinically prohibited relationships. So a son's daughter-in-law to you, your son's daughter-in-law, is rabbinically prohibited. It's called the Shnia. Okay? So the Gemara says, the Gemara here is quoting the Gemara in Yevamos, Mishim Shavar Lav, Kalas Beno Shnia, Kid Tanya. The Gemara says, we learned in a Braisa. And we're back in Yevamos, Daf Chaf Aleph, Kalaso Erva, Kalas Bano Shnia. Your Kala, your daughter-in-law to you is an Erva, meaning that's an Issa Daraisa. Kalas Bano, your son's daughter-in-law to you is a Shnia, it's a secondary, it's an Issa Darabanan. So Yitzchak, even though he had a Yibam Mitzvah opportunity to marry this Rachel, but she is to him his son's daughter-in-law. And so because it's a son's daughter-in-law, so therefore she is rabbinically forbidden. Now, what do we have over here? We have a mitzvah d'oraisa of Yibum against an Isser d'Rabbanan, against the rabbinic prohibition. Interestingly enough, the rabbinic prohibition trumps the mitzvah d'oraisa. Right? How come? So because there's always a chalitza exit of Yibum, so prefer the chalitza exit rather than him violating Isser d'Rabbanan. V'chein atamotze bebas beno, uvebas ben beno atzov kol hadaros. And by the way, just as long as we quote the Gemara in Yevamos, the Mishnah Yevamos, so I think it's a brisa. So as long as we quote the Yevamos, so then the Gemara just points out, not only can you not marry your son's daughter-in-law, but you can't marry your grandson's daughter-in-law. Okay, already you talk about age differential. You're talking about your grandson's daughter-in-law. But still, the point is that anything with a shame daughter-in-law that is connected to you is going to be prohibited. Okay. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Rav Yossi holding of Isser, the Isser Chal Isser, again, because our Mishnah named Rav Yossi. So again, anyone, it's unbelievable. It's automatic. Anytime the Mishnah names somebody, the Gemara immediate reaction is, oh, he doesn't hold Isser Chal Isser. So the Gemara says, "V'atanam." We learned in the Mishnah, "Avra aver sheish pashtei misos nida mechamura." If a person does one act that has embedded in it two capital crimes, so which capital crime do you give the person? So the Tanakhama says you give him the more stringent capital crime, right? And in the American legal system, so he just they just find him liable for, you know, more than one count, and okay, and. But in halacha, though, you only give him one. Which one do you give him? The more severe. Rabbi Yossi, Amar Nidon, Bezika Rishona, Shavu'ah Olavin. Rabbi Yossi says, no. Figure out which capital crime came here first. For example, Vitanya, Ketan, Amar Yossi, Nidon, Bezika Rishona, Chamos, Venase, Ish. Let's say you have a mother-in-law, and when she became your mother-in-law, she was a widow, right? Or divorcee. But in other words, she wasn't married. So when you marry this woman's daughter, she's your mother-in-law. Okay, with all the jokes included. And on top of that, she's asur to you, meaning she's an erva, she's your mother-in-law. And then, nida mishim chamosa, eishasish, v'naz, I'm sorry, so v'naza eishasish, and then, after you married her daughter, she then marries. Okay, so now she's prohibited to you for two reasons. Number one, she's your mother-in-law. Number two, she is your, I'm sorry, she's eishasish, she's a married woman. Now those are, and if then the man has relations with his mother-in-law, so then that's a violation of two capital crimes. Number one, it's his mother-in-law, that's chamosa. Number two, she's a married woman. Now, which one of them is more severe? The obvious answer is it's his mother-in-law. I mean that on every level. The right, that's an erva. And the punishment for chamosa is yeah, no, kares, but the capital crime, meaning he does it b'mezid, he does it intentionally. For your mother-in-law is sreifa? Yeah? Okay, good. I mean, good. So it's sreifa, but just for being a married woman, that's only chenek, that's only strangulation. So of the two, sreifa is a more severe form of capital punishment than chenek, than strangulation. So I know it sounds somewhat arbitrary when in terms of killing people, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin gives a pecking order in terms of the capital crimes, and according to everybody, sreifa is above chenek. Whether sreifa is above skila is a machlokus, but sreifa is above chenek according to everybody. So what Rav Yossi says is, which one do you follow? You follow the one that came first. That's it. So in other words, if before she was a married woman, she was your mother-in-law, so then that means that to you, the primary issue of mother-in-law is the one that is the one in play, and if you have relations intentionally with your mother-in-law, so Rav Yossi says that's sreifa.
Is she getting the same?
Yeah, and then she'll get, right, she'll get the same punishment that you got. Yeah, and then eishasish nidam mishum. I'm sorry, v'nasas eishasish. I'm sorry, rishon chamosa v'nasas eishasish nidam mishum chamosa eishasish v'nasas chamosa. And but what if she is eishasish? What if first she was a married woman, i.e., In other words, she was before she was her mother-in-law, she was still married with her husband. And then she becomes your mother-in-law, Nidah Mishum Eshes Ish. Then now she is Eshes Ish. She is going to be, the capital crime here is going to be judged by a married woman. Meaning you're only going to get strangled. You're not going to get burnt. Comforting. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Modar Rabbi Yossi, B'Yisamosif, V'chein Kiyas Rabin, Amar Rabbi Yochan, Modar Rabbi Yossi, B'Yisamosif. So again, the answer is going to be the same fundamental answer every single time. Meaning you're right, Rav Yossi does not hold of Ein Isser Chala Isser. But if there is a qualitative nature in terms of what we're adding, so then you add it. Ma Yisra Mosif Ika Hacha, Di Ika Barala Saba, Migo Di Itosif Isser Legabe Brei, Itosif Isser Legabe Di Day. Because there is the son to the grandfather. Meaning that when when Yitzchak marries his son's daughter-in-law, right? When Yitzchak marries his son's daughter-in-law, so not only does she become usher to, she becomes usher to all of Yitzchak's own children. So it's a migu. Now, since there's more Isser being promulgated through this union, so therefore she then also becomes usher to Reuven again, for this as well. Okay. Haba al chamoso, a man has relations. We're going to do this again next Mishnah. Haba al chamoso, chayav al mishum chamoso vekalosa ve'eshes achi ve'eshes achi aviv ve'achos isha ve'eshes ish v'nida. Okay, a man has relations with his mother-in-law. So can you imagine? She's his mother-in-law and she's his daughter-in-law.
Okay. Where are we? Oh, I'm sorry. You're ahead. Okay, you're where we should be. Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay, so okay, case over here again. We're just going to go through one case over here, and then I'll let you figure out the rest. So Yishmael, oh boy, Yishmael has ancestral relations with his daughter Basmas. And through the ancestral relation, they have now a daughter. So Yehudas. Yehudas now, it's a funny name, but Yehudas now is a sister to Yishmael and a daughter to Yishmael. Okay? And then Yehudas marries a whole series of men. She marries Chanoch, she marries Shimon, she marries Esav, the son of Reuven, the brother of Reuven, the uncle of Reuven. Okay? And then, okay, you get the basic point. So now, so Yehudas is going to be usher on multiple levels. And then, Reuven has relations with Basmas. Okay. So now to Basmas, she is, sorry, is it Reuven? Yeah, Reuven is now Basmas's, you're following, it's his mother-in-law, it's his daughter-in-law, right? Because Basmas was married to Chanoch, Reuven's son. So it's his mother-in-law, it's his daughter-in-law. Oh boy. It's his wife's sister, right? Because Reuven was also married to Yehudas. Okay, it's his brother's wife, because at one point Basmas was married to Shimon, and it's his uncle's wife. Wonderful. So we could do the same case also when a man has relations with his mother-in-law's mother or with his father-in-law's mother. Okay. The aim chamoso, the aim chamiv. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, let's say a man has relations with his mother-in-law, so he could be obligated for her for being her mother-in-law, and the mother of his mother-in-law, and the mother of his father-in-law. So Amar lo, so they say to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, Shloshtam Shem Echadim, what are you talking about? That is all basically the same Isser, meaning that's all the Isser of mother-in-law. Okay, now, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Simchos, Amar Dabar Echad. Okay, so this idea of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, and Simchos
are going to be the same idea. Now, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri had Amar. Now, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is of our Mishnah. Now, Simchas Mahi did not. Now, Simchas is going to be basically the same idea as our Mishnah. And that is the following. Shachta v'esbas bita, v'acharkach shachta es bita. Right, we go back to Chulin. Remember the fifth parak of Chulin? Where there we had a discussion of... Yeah. So there we had a discussion of a man. You're not allowed to shecht an animal and its offspring on the same day. Also, v'esbenola sishchu to b'yom echad. Good. So, and if you do that, that's a lav. That's a negative prohibition. And you're going to get malchus for doing that, for shechting the mother and its offspring on the same day. What if... The Mishnah in Chulin discusses the following scenario. What if you shecht the animal and its grandchild, okay, which is fine, meaning because he skipped a generation, and then on the same day you shecht the daughter / mother, right? That middle generation, and so now in that one act of shechita, what did you just do? You violate osav vas beno, perhaps twice. Because you shechted it and its mother on the same day, and you shechted it and its offspring on the same day. But you did it with one act. So v'achakar shechtes bita soveges arbaim. So according to the Tanakhama and that Mishnah Chulin, so you're going to get Malkus, but only one set of Malkus, because even though it's osav es beno, up a generation and down a generation, but it was done with one act. So you're only going to be chayv Malkus once. Simchas Omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Sofik Shmonim. Now Simchas quotes in the name of Rabbi Meir, his Rabbi, that you're going to get Malkus twice. Because it's one act, but it's a one act that translates into multiple Isurim. So what the Gemara now wants to do is that it wants to do an alignment. The Gemara loves doing this. An alignment between the Simchas ruling of Osav Esbeno over there, and our case over here of a man who has relations with his mother-in-law, who also at the same time happens to be his mother's mother-in-law and his father's mother-in-law. Okay? So it's the same basic idea. It's one act that yields multiple Isurim. So Simchas says that just like, the Gemara, Rav Oshia says that just like over here, there's going to be multiple Isurim out of one act, same thing over there by the story of Osav es beno, to which the Gemara says the two cases are not exactly comparable. Amar Rav Adom Elohi, I can look Amar Rav Yochanan Nuri Hacha El Mishum Shemos Muchlakim Demikre Chamoser Mikre Em Chamoser Mikre Em Chamiv. Look, in our case over here, when the man has relations with his mother-in-law, who is also his mother's mother-in-law, who is also his father's mother-in-law, those are different isurim. Meaning, it's not just a repetition of the same isur. It is she is mother-in-law who is also mother's mother-in-law, who's also father. They're different Isurim by different names. Avagabi, Osav es beno, Tekul Osav es beno mikre. But there, where you shecht generation number one and generation number three, and then on that same day, you shecht generation number two, granted that it can go up and it can go down, but it's essentially the same exact Isur. You have not produced a new Isur. It is Isur times two, but it's the same Isur times two. So maybe our Rav Yochanan Nuri of our Mishnah here in Krisos is not going to agree with the Simchas position of Chulin. So De'ein Shemos Mechlakim. So lo, I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak is going to do the same thing, but she's just going to go the other way. Meaning Dilma Adkan Lo Kamar Simchas Ela Gabi Osav Es Beno Dukufim Mechlakim. In the case of Osav Es Beno, look there. You shechted one animal, but it was a child to the generation above, and it was a mother to the generation below. Meaning that it actually are three different animals involved. But over here, it's the same woman. The man is having relations with his mother-in-law, who is also his mother's mother-in-law, who is also his father's mother-in-law. So here, it's guf echad, it's one body, literally one body. So, Emek Rabbi Abba, Am Rav Yochanan Sri Leidam, Rabbi Abba, Am Rav Yochanan Sheira Heina Zima Hi Akasav Asam Lekulam Zima Achas. When the Torah talks about mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, the Torah uses a description which is Sheira Heina Zima Hi. It's Zima. It's disgusting. It's revolting. But the Lashon Yachid Zima Hi, it is revolting, means that any permutation of mother-in-law, meaning its mother-in-law, meaning it's your mother's mother-in-law, meaning it's your father's mother-in-law. Any permutation of mother-in-law is basically under one category. So maybe categorically it's all the same. And so maybe Simchas of the Mishnah and Chulin would agree not with Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, but rather with the Tanakhama. Okay, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Okay, more basic concepts, more basic ideas in terms of how to count up Isurim. I love the way the Mishnah sets up this discussion. Sha'altiz Rabbi Gamliel v'ez Rabbi Yeshua be'ilishel eima'om sha'och likach mehem la'mishnah ben osha Rabbi Gamliel. They were making a chasna. Rabbi Gamliel's son is getting married. Okay? So they need to prepare. So they're going out to the marketplace and they're buying meat. And by the way, it's, you know, I'm sure this is commented on. They didn't get attendants, they didn't get servants to go and prepare the food. They themselves went out and they themselves purchased the meat. And on their way to go to the marketplace to buy meat for the wedding of Rabbi Gamliel's son, so Rabbi Akiva says that I was speaking in Torah with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua as we're going to buy meat. Right, correct. Same setup. And now you can ask me. You know, it's fantastic, by the way. In other words, they're walking, and of course they're going to be talking in Torah, Gedol Yisrael. So that we understand, right? Totally saturated and imbued in the life of Torah. The topic of discussion seems to be somewhat of a strange topic, considering the fact that they are preparing for a chasna. Okay. So, but here's the question that was posed. Habal achoso. Va'alachos aviv, va'alachos imo mahu. A man has relations with his sister, followed then by relations with his father's sister, followed then by relations with his mother's sister. Mahu chayv al kolachas, chayv al akulon or chayv al kolachas v'achas. So, how many carbon chatuses do you have to ring up for that guy? One carbon chatus or three carbon chatuses? Now, the way I set up the case, by the way, the answer seems to be pretty obvious. Meaning because there are three acts of relations with three different women. His sister, his father's sister, his mother's sister. What the Gemara is going to tell us a little bit later on is that she was all the same. It was one woman who was his sister and his father's sister and his mother's sister. I know that's confusing. I know it's hard to put up a visual in your head in terms of how that happened. But stay tuned. Later on, we're going to try to work out the case. But anyway, Amru lo, so they say to him, lo shamanu. Good question. We don't know. Aval shamanu, aval lehi nashav nidos ba'alam achas shu chayva kolachas v'achas. But here's what I do know. A man has relations with five different women, and each one of them is a nida. So, and again, each one of them was done b'shogeg. How many carbon chatzuses do you need to bring? Five. Even though it's the same Isser just being repeated, but it's being repeated with five different women. Veroim anu shadram kavachomer. So in that case, when all you're doing is just repeating the Isser, and you're going to be chayav five times over, so too over here, where you're not repeating an Isser, you're violating three separate Isserim, al achas kama vakama. How much more so are you going to be chayav three times over? Now, the Gemara immediately jumps into the discussion. So the Gemara says, look, if the case is as I originally presented it, that first a man has relations with his sister, then he goes on to his mother's sister, then he goes on to his father's sister, and they represent three different women, what's the discussion? It's Shemus Muchlakim, it's different Isurim, and Gufin Muchlakim, and three different women. Obviously, each one is going to be its own separate Isur. So she is not they. It's one woman. It's one woman who happens to be your father's sister, your mother's sister, and your sister as well. So before we try to figure out the case, but the Gemara says, Amru lo, lo shamanu. So their response to him is, ooh, that's a good question. Right? That's a good question. Because here you have now, even though she is many Isurim more than one time over, but nevertheless, it's one woman.
So they said, Aval Shamanu, Aval Hinashav Nidos Bevazach, Shu Shemachach, Chava Kolachas Vachas, Mishum Nida Vrinusha Dram Kava Homer. Uma Aval Hinashav Nidos Bevazach, Shi Shemachach, Chava Kolachas Vachas, Achos, Shi Achosev, if she Achos Emo, Shahain Gimel Shemas, and Adin Shay Chava Kolachas Vachas. So, and to that now, their response is the five Nidas. A man has relations with five separate women. Each one of them is a Nida. He's chai for each one of them. So too over here is going to be chai for each one. So the Gemara, after now understanding the discussion between the two of them better, the Gemara's response is, what? What kind of kavachom are you talking about? Ikal amifrech malahe Nida sheken gufa mechlakin. I so don't understand what you're saying. In the case of the Nida, those are five separate women. So you're going to be liable for each act because each act is done with a separate woman. But over here, it's only one woman who happens to be your sister, your father's sister, your mother's sister. But it's one woman. So right. So you don't see the difference between five separate women versus one woman who happens to be in that one woman three separate Yisurim. Ela amakra ervas achoso gila lechayev alachoso shiachosav shiachos imo. So the Gemara says you're right. The kavachomer is not going to do it for us. So the Gemara says, Pasuk, we have a drasha, Ervas Achoso Gila, those are extra words, the words are not necessary in the Pasuk. So the Torah says, the Gemara says, that what we darshan over here is that she's your sister, who also already happens to have been your father's sister, who also happens to have been your mother's sister, but she's your sister, so you're going to be chayav on all three of them. Now, if you're wondering, which as I was, I got to this point in the Gemara, I was wondering, I really don't understand. I mean, the whole discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, right? It's a strange discussion considering the fact that on the previous Amud, we spent Mishnah after Mishnah going through various cases where one woman is 5 Yisurim, 6 Yisurim, 7 Yisurim, and the Mishnah didn't flinch. Meaning, even though she's one woman, but because she's represented by all those various Yisurim, so therefore you're going to ring up every one of those Yisurim. And why over here Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua are having a discussion and a give and take and a rebuttal. And Lo Shamanu, right? And we never heard this. You never heard this. I understand. Didn't you learn the previous Mishnah? Didn't you learn two Mishnahs ago? Like, what's the discussion? So, I couldn't... Anyway, the Shita Mekubetzis discusses this very question. And he's bothered. It really bothers me. It's just a simple question, just in the terms of the basic understanding of the Mishnah. So, Alam Akra, Ever Chas Gilion, Tema. So, the Shita Mekubetzis is Osiyad Aleph. I'm just going to read it quickly. Tema. So, Alam Alikra Hatanan, Yeshba Bia Achaz Vechayv Alea Shesh Chatos. Velo Matzrich Kra. Previously, we were doing this 6 times over, we didn't quote a pasuk, meaning it's understood that as long as each new iser introduces a component, a facet that didn't exist in the previous iser, so then of course we're going to lay one iser on top of another iser. So ela mechayev akulo b'iser kol v'iser mosif. Either you'll use the operating factors of kol or mosif, but so what's happening now with this in our discussion over here? The kol shekin hecha da havelei iser bavas achas kedam rabbe perek arba achin iser kol v'iser mosif islay iser bavas achas mibaye. And over here, she became your sister and your wife's sister and your mother's sister all at the same time. And there, everybody agrees that if simultaneously surim are going to present itself, so then each iser is accounted for, and each iser will stick. So, really unbelievable question. So, how are they having this discussion over here when previously the Gemara didn't flinch? The Mishnah didn't flinch. So he gives an answer, and he says, well, maybe the argument over here is that these are all sibling prohibitions. This is all Isser Achva, meaning that she's your sister, and she's your mother's sister, and she's your father's sister. It really is all one Isser of Achva. It's a sibling Isser. So you might have thought that previously we were discussing where she was your mother-in-law, and she was your daughter-in-law, and she was your sister. So in other words, those are different Isurim. But here, it's all variations of Achva. Okay, so
So he suggests that's why it could be different. So Amar Avada Barava Mishkach Chala. Now, after having discussed what the punchline is, which is you're going to be chai for everyone. So then Mishkach Chala. Now, what's the case? How can she be your sister and your father's sister and your mother's sister? Barishia Bas Rishia Shabal Imo. So the Gemara over here illustrates the case, and again, there's an extraordinarily unpleasant case. Man has relations, incestual relations with his mother, Vahole Beis Banos, and produces two daughters, V'chazu Va'al Achas Mehem, and then he has relations with one of those daughters. Now, one of those daughters, which also happens to be his sister, right? Vahole Ben, and they produce a son, Uba Beno. Now, the son is growing up. Can you imagine the son growing up in that household? Right? That's the family that he lives in. So it's not shocking that he's going to have relations now with his mother's sister. Shehi achoso. Shehi achos aviv. And his mother's sister is his father's sister. And it's also his own sister. Okay. If you follow, great. If you didn't follow, it's also... In other words, it can happen. So Dahavale Rishia Barishia. So that would be the scenario where a man could be having relations with his father's sister, his mother's sister, and his own sister all at the same time. But obviously it only comes about through a series of acts of incest. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. Rabbi Elazar has a very interesting opinion. Rabbi Elazar says that if a man has multiple acts of relations with the same woman, all behelam echad, all in one state of unawareness, you're going to be chayev for every single act. That's not how we follow. La halacha, that's not how we follow. We follow that if multiple acts are done, and it's the same iser, and it's one state of unawareness, you're only going to be chayev one carbon chatos. But Rabbi Elazar says, here you'll be chayev a chacham amar, mimeinu chayev al achas. We follow the position of the chacham, you're only chayev one. Omodim chacham la Rabbi Elazar beval heinashim, nidos bevas achas, shu chayev kol achas v'achas. Now, what if a man has relations with five different women, each one of the women being a nida? So then you're going to ring up five different carbon chatasas for each one of those acts. Now, it gives an interesting explanation. Why? Because every time you're having relations with a different woman, she'll be chayev her own carbon chatas. So with every carbon chatas she's chayev, you are going to follow suit. She's chayv a carbon chatas, you are. You go to the second woman, she's chayv a carbon chatas, you are as well. Amar Rav L'Rav Nachman, Amar Ina Hov V'Hu Garam Lahem V'Atanya. Hu V'Amachas V'Hi Behem V'Hei Alamas Hu Ena Chayv Al'Achas V'Hi Chayv Asakol Achas V'Achas. So the Gemara says, but that's not correct, that's not true. Your carbon chatas does not really depend on her carbon chatas. The Gemara illustrates in the following scenario. Fascinating scenario. A man has relations with a woman who's a nida. Okay? He's unaware, he's in a state of shogeg, that you're not allowed to have relations with Anita. Okay? And she also is unaware. So for the first act of relations, he's chayav karmen chata, she is. Then she snaps out of it. She then realizes, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I just had relations while I was Anita, and I'm not allowed to do that. So she snaps out of it. He's still lost. And then she goes back into a new state of shogeg, a new state of unawareness, and they have relations again. Now for him, it's the same state of unawareness. For her, it's a totally new act of bias nida, because she already had a yediyah, she already remembered that you're not allowed to do that after the first act of relations. So this second act of relations are two different, represent two different acts for these two different people. For the man, it's just a continuation of his first time. For the woman, because she already had a yediya, this is a totally new act. So what's the story? She's going to have to bring two carbon chatases, and he's only going to need to bring one. So you see that he doesn't necessarily follow her. Ella, ema hol v'gufa mechlakin. So you're wrong. Meaning, what's the rationale behind the chachamim? It has nothing to do with him being attached to her, and his fate is her fate. It has to do with the simple fact of that if he has relations with five different women, that's five separate gufin, five separate bodies. Okay. All right. That's it for today. More tomorrow. Oh, the topics are great. Okay. Okay. Good. So again, basic basic discussions of Isser Chalal Isser. Again, more review of Isser Kolo, Isser Mosif, and Vas Achas. A number of unbelievable cases in order to get to 6-7 different Isserim that will result in one. But the basic machlokas of the Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer, whether or not you're going to be Chayav Behelamech in one state of unawareness, one carbon chatos or multiple carbon chatos. And of course, we follow like the Chachamim that if it's one guf and it's the same Isser being repeated, it's if it's done by all Behelamech, you're only going to be Chayav one carbon chatos. Tomorrow, we start off comparing these halachas to Shabbos. Okay, we have much.